Imagine a vast system of forestry connecting through Hawaii's urban sectors from Mauka to Makai. It's an ambitious goal, but it's one that Paul Aranaga and Travis Idle are working to realize. They believe that even if a fraction of the island's residents take an active interest in the cultivation of endemic plants, the state of conservation in Hawaii would be in a much better place. They recently spoke to our producer, Harrison Patino, about their project, Go Native, Growing a Native Hawaiian Urban Forest. We begin with Travis.
Hawaii Forest Institute has a long history of working on rural and natural forests and the restoration of both dry forests and mesic or wetter forests as well. But we started getting into looking at trying to reach the public more broadly, and so we had a couple of more urban forestry type projects, both at the zoo on the Big Island outside of Hilo, the Panaeva Zoo, and then also at the Honolulu Zoo. And so we really began to shift some of our attention and focus with the success of those projects to really trying to connect more with urban forestry and people where, you know, where people actually live. And so that's kind of where this idea to do this broader effort for focusing on urban forestry and including native plants within urban ecosystems came from. So the Go Native idea kind of came from that sort of history. Really, Paul can tell you a lot more about, you know, that project specifically.
For me personally, it sort of started because I just became puzzled as to just walking around neighborhoods in Honolulu as to why more people aren't growing native plants. Because typically, you might see one or two yards with a few native plants growing, but generally speaking, I haven't seen a lot. So it seems like, in a sense, pardon the metaphor, but sort of low-hanging fruit to just encourage a lot more people, particularly in Honolulu, but statewide, to start growing more native plants because of, you know, some of the many benefits, not only to urban areas, but to the larger forest itself in more remote areas. The idea being that enough of a critical mass could be established that these urban forests could, in a way, connect or interconnect with more natural forests that are in more remote areas.
Well, you're promoting this notion at a really interesting time because COVID has really made gardeners out of a lot of us. This seems like, you know, what might be the perfect moment to galvanize people's newfound or pre-existing green thumbs into fostering native plants. So how do people even get involved in this sort of thing?
The main things that we are planning to do are to produce a series of videos and host them on YouTube. And we're working with Heidi Bornhurst, who's a very well-known in this area horticulturist and arborist, certified arborist, and has written a book about growing native plants. So she's going to be featured in the videos. But the idea with the videos is to really make it really much easier for people to know how to grow native plants and to know which plant to grow where, given the microclimate they're living in, the soil conditions they have, and things like that. But the other thing we're planning to do as well is to create what I call a quick reference guide, where people would be able to quickly refer to this guide and see, okay, I'm living here, so this plant will grow well here. And here's maybe even a step-by-step kind of way in which I can gradually transition my yard to native landscape. And these are the things I need to watch out for. Maybe this is roughly how much it would cost. These are the places I can go to get the plants. So really try to give people all the information they would need. And then I guess the other major component besides providing information and kind of hand-holding in a way, is to really promote this to the general public, so, you know, residents, but also to businesses and people like landscape architects who are, you know, kind of a channel for getting far more native plants out into yards everywhere. And also, I should say, landscaping in businesses, hotels, office buildings, etc.
Well, Travis, it's an interesting point. Do you think there's been a sort of trepidation or a little bit of mystery in the average gardener here in terms of wanting to foster native plants, or maybe even a little bit of fear of not doing it properly?
Probably so. My guess is, unfortunately, a lot of the news that we get about our natural forests and native species always seems to be another pest, another disease, another challenge to maintaining these natural populations. And so they may think, well, you know, if I try to grow this locally or in my own yard, am I going to face the same kinds of challenges or issues? There's also reputations. You know, sometimes it's hard to overcome a bad reputation for certain native plants. But, you know, on the flip side, there are a lot of native and Hawaiian-introduced plants, or what we call canoe plants, that are quite common in urban areas. And I think people in many cases just aren't even aware of that. And so this project will help to make them more aware of what they are already seeing and say, yeah, you know, these trees, these plants are things that I can grow. I have seen them. ensure it, this should be a priority.
I'm glad Travis brought up canoe plants, because with the COVID situation and the economic dislocation that it's causing, I think now is a great time for people to start growing food plants. And a lot of the canoe plants, of course, are food plants, many of them being relatively easy to grow. So, you know, I think that's also an opportunity for a lot of people. The other thing I want to say is that the thing that I think is also interesting about this project is that restoration or conservation has tended to be something done in fairly remote areas. So they've been kind of far removed from people's everyday life. Whereas I think if we start to encourage more people to grow native plants, the whole idea of restoration and conservation will become much more personal for them. And they'll feel like maybe even that they have a personal stake in it, more so than they do now.
Well, Hawaii seems like it has a particularly personal stake. In this Forest Action Plan that's associated with this project, it said that our island's ecosystems are more dramatically and intricately connected than those on the continents. Can you explain that?
The small size of our islands really means that ecosystems and places are connected. Just, you know, physical proximity is much closer. And, you know, the range of ecosystem types from the top of the mountains down to the ocean, you know, can occur within just a few miles on the islands. And so, you know, those connections are intimate. There's also dramatic changes happening, transitions. And that's not just sort of the natural systems, but that interface between kind of places where people live and work and grow plants, as well as, you know, rural protected natural areas as well. So we have to be aware of not just the natural connections that occur, but the ones that we're involved in, all those interfaces. And so, as Paul mentioned earlier, the more we can plant natives within an urban area or within a human, you know, dominated area, the more we can strengthen those connections between the mountains and the sea.
Travis, you talk about dramatic change. A startling statistic here is that nearly 95% of Hawaii's dryland forest is no more, while 10% of the state's native plant species are extinct. So I have to ask, where do you see urban forestry and the role of natural preservation?
I mean, it's an interesting role that urban forestry can play. In some ways, if we can propagate certain native plants and get them into urban landscaping and accepted, we can actually provide kind of this living collection and refugia for native species where their natural range, you know, has been disturbed or destroyed or converted to some other land use. And in the similar ways that zoos are now much like conservation organizations to protect and conserve wild animals that might be endangered or threatened in their natural range, urban landscapes can become a refuge and a place where native plants can be thrived and tended until we can restore their natural habitats and ranges.
Paul, your thoughts on the matter?
I would also say if all goes well and we get enough of a critical mass of urban forest, then it's even conceivable, and the grand vision, I guess, is wildlife corridors that would connect natural forests via urban areas, maybe even Mauka to Makai, as it was in the past, you know, 100 years ago, let's say. And I think that because as kind of an environmentalist, you'd like to think that we can turn back the hands of time, but the reality is we can't. There are certain areas of this state or of Honolulu County that are so developed and will never be able to restore the ahupua'a to a state, you know, even remotely resembling what it once was. But by creating an urban forest, it's almost like a surrogate forest, in my view. We can sort of create the genetic reservoir as well as these wildlife corridors.
What you're talking about here really sounds like the synthesis between urban development and urban forestry. I guess that's kind of the point of all this project, but I have to wonder, is it a realistic goal?
I mean, it's a big goal, right? But it's something that I think if we address it from a lot of different perspectives, then I think it gains, as Paul said, that critical mass. There actually is in Honolulu City and County a requirement on the books that landscapers should be using native plants unless there's some real practical reason that they're not going to work. Unfortunately, that becomes a big loophole that most landscapers and developers are able to not use native plants. But the city and county sort of officially is behind the promotion of native plants. It's just that we need to make the awareness of their importance as well as the ability to propagate, to plant them, to tend them, and get them to thrive. You know, that awareness and that knowledge needs to increase so that there's both a demand and a supply, as well as an understanding that, yeah, we can actually make this happen if we work on it.
Now, paint a picture here. What does that sort of symbiotic urban forestry in urban Honolulu, in urban Hawaii, look like?
Well, I think on an individual level, going back to your point about, you know, is this a realistic goal? It's definitely an ambitious goal, but the actions of each individual can and do make a difference. So I think on an individual level, if people were able to know which plants they could grow relatively easily in their area where they are, and they started to do so, that could make a huge difference. If just 20%, say, of the population started doing that, or even 10%, that would already be a huge step up from where we are now.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, I think there's a couple things from my end. One is helping to create a sense of place where people are. So rather than just having a place that's, you know, my yard or you know, my neighborhood, and I want it to kind of look like this, people kind of connect with what is this place and, you know, what's its own natural history and what would have been here naturally, and how do we create that kind of sense of a place so that we're connected to it, a part of it, and not just recreating something that we like to look at. So I think that could be a big part of increasing the value and the meaning of planting natives as well. The other part is, you know, as Paul said, really trying to provide a variety of ecosystem services and recognizing the importance of native plants in being able to do that. And so that we think about landscaping as more than just kind of, you know, keeping things a little bit cool and looking nice, that there are really other important values and purposes of urban forest. And so it kind of puts a little bit more, you know, thought into what we choose and how we plant it and maintain it, how much should be there, and almost a little bit more of the responsibility, you know, that this is an important choice that we are making. It's not just one, again, that's really more about aesthetics or making it seem nice outside, but rather one that, you know, these choices really matter in other important ways. And so that's kind of a sense of awareness and responsibility that it would be really nice to cultivate with a project like this.
That was the conversations Harrison Patino speaking with Paul Arinaga and Travis Idle of the Hawaii Forest Institute about their project, Go Native, growing a native Hawaiian urban forest.